Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the High Potion Podcast. It's your boy Steve Kruthy.
And I'm Holmes Burkhart. Buddy, we're going to be doing a little necromancy today. This is kind of a topic we've done before, but not as focused as this time. And to clue you and the listeners in, a couple things sort of caused this topic idea to come up into my mind grapes, right? First was the announcement of that new game in the Mana series, right? Mm-hmm. Been so long since we've gotten an entry in that series. You know, they remade the third one and finally released it in the United States. But as far as a brand new entry, it's been a while. And then a couple weeks back, I got a PlayStation gift card, and which was awesome. And I was just kind of looking through the sales and everything. I'd already, you know, it's not like there was any new game coming out that I hadn't already gotten, right? And what I ended up doing was looking through some of the PlayStation catalog and got a couple of JRPGs, older JRPGs for my JRPG collection. And one of them is in one of the series we're talking about. And what are we talking about? Defunct JRPG series or franchises that we'd like to see resurrected. Or maybe not even resurrected, just be like, what the fuck happened to this? You know?
Mm-hmm. Plenty out there.
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot. I guarantee you this is going to be one of those things where we go through this episode and I'm going to get a late night text message from Michael Pappas being like, Halsey, I can't believe you forgot about whatever, you know, whatever it is that right. I forgot. And some of these, like, were huge for me. You know what I mean? Some of these series were big deals, and some of them I've played some of them I'm not even all that familiar with. So it'll be interesting to sort of dive into that. I think Steve and I did a little pre-podcast discussion about this, and we're pretty much on the same track with, you know, games that we wanted to bring up. So speaking of Michael Pappas, Steve, quick little High Potion Yankees update. He's officially part of the free company as of this morning.
Nice. Fuck that, yeah.
That man has a level 90 black mage named Choo Choo that is is now part of our free company.
Nice.
Now, whether we'll actually be able to link up and play some Final Fantasy with Mike Pappas, maybe. He's elusive. You know, he's hard to pin down. He's slippery. Mm-hmm. But
level 90, shit.
Yeah, that man, you know what that man does is the minute a new expansion comes out, he, you know, logs in, gets his character up to the new, you know,
level cap,
and then he's like, all right, I'm done. Back to Vandeel, baby. Final Fantasy 11. Which, by the way, I pre-ordered Dawn Trail today, and I was reading through, you know, the stuff that's going to come in that new expansion, and there's a whole Final Fantasy 11 themed raid or dungeon that they're introducing in the new expansion. So maybe cool. We will see Michael Pappas.
Yoshi P has also been making some comments recently. He had another one maybe like yesterday about how he wants to kind of change up the Final Fantasy 14 meta, if you will. Uh-huh. Like he he wants it to be a little more rewarding as an MMO experience. He thinks that it's done its job as far as like getting people who don't really know much about MMOs into it.
Right.
And now he kind of wants to maybe take it a little step further. So I'll be curious to see what they do in the next chapter.
Yeah, you know? I think all that will be sort of held for the new expansion and, you know, mm-hmm. the updates in between that expansion and the next expansion. But it's pretty exciting. I'm excited to see where it goes. You know, tomorrow is the start of the Final Fantasy 16 event. Mm-hmm. So I will definitely be jumping on there and trying to get my Torgle mount because he is the best boy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love me some Torgle.
I love that mount has a special action that you unlock where you can pet Torgle. I was like, you guys know your audience.
Man, I'm sure we talked about this on the Final Fantasy 16 pod, but like that whole game, I just kind of spent half tense waiting for them to just fucking kill him. Luckily, they didn't.
Buddy.
Spoiler, sorry.
Buddy. No. I think that's the kind of spoilers. If somebody's in the middle of playing Final Fantasy 16 and they just happen to hear us say, you know, they don't kill Torgle in that game, I imagine 9 times out of 10 people are just going to breathe a little sigh of relief and move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I'm weird when it comes to animals dying.
I don't like it. I do not like it, buddy. I do not like it. There was that part in God of War Ragnarok where I was like, I think I might be done playing this game. I almost mm-hmm. gave up on it. Now, luckily, they turned it around pretty quickly, but it was
that was rough. That was really rough. I know exactly the part you're talking about. And even though they did kind of bring it back around okay, like the whole sequence leading up to it just really made me sick to my stomach in not a good way.
Nah, not a good way at all. So before we jump in and start talking about some of these JRPGs that we haven't seen new entries from in a while, we have an email and a voicemail from our buddy Sean Hoffman, best mod in the game, right?
Sick. Did he upload this on Discord?
He didn't, but I see it and I just have a feeling that there's a bit in that voicemail. I haven't listened to it because I don't do that, right?
Right.
He says, Stalls, which I guess is our combined name. Stalls. Sorry I misled the last episode cut off, or I missed the last episode cut off, but I've been absolutely swamped working on really important projects. Sarcasm. Love the content, even though I feel like I've been getting blamed for a lot of stuff that I'm not 100% connected to. Also, please apologize to Steve for me. I promise to hop on stream and chat with you guys sometime soon. As I mentioned, I've been working on super serious and really important stuff. By the way, I included a fun voicemail for you guys as well. All the best, Sean. Okay.
Totally understand, by the way, Sean. You get there when you can, man.
Yeah, and you know there's always a spot in the High Potion Yankees for you, buddy.
That's right.
When you're ready to fucking take that MMO leap, baby, you let us know.
Yeah, and talk to your boy Andy while you're at it.
Oh,
the Just Shellin' boys could be like a little crack unit.
We'll have to call in the Just Shellin' unit. Mm-hmm. They ain't no two nickel fucks, those two boys. You know what I mean?
Nope. The podcast, check it out.
You know, it's available on Xbox now.
Final Fantasy 14, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's listen to this voicemail, you know what I mean, Steve? I just know he's gonna be fucking with us. Yep.
Incredible stuff.
Incredible stuff there, Sean. Just incredible. Just really bringing the heat with that, my dude. So was that us on stream doing the battle cry for Helldivers, the whole yeah?
Maybe. I think that was the really important project that he was mentioning that he was working on.
You think that's what he's been working on?
I think so.
You know, a couple days ago, he popped into stream and literally just typed "Hoo yeah" a couple of times, so now it all makes sense. All right, let's hear from Florian then. All right, let's see what Florian has to say with his voicemail. If it's Florian or HK47 doing a bit, like doing the Discord noise or doing "Hoo yeah," This will be the shortest episode of, of High Potion ever. We'll be wrapping it up in about 10 minutes, baby. Okay, it was, we're on his 11th. We've been getting through these.
Mm-hmm. Right. Greetings, meatbags. Query, what's the most unusual game crossover you can come up with? Narration, combine two game worlds that would create the wackiest mashup. Curiosity, I'm genuinely intrigued by your gaming concoctions, meatbags.
All right. Mario anime titty rhythm game.
For some reason, that doesn't really strike me as that crazy.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. You said, Grand Theft Auto Mushroom Kingdom. You know what I mean?
Okay, okay. Yeah, let's see. How
Mario's
about
doing drugs off of a hooker's butt crack.
The Last of Us and Pokemon Red or Gold or one of those.
Oh my god.
Fuckers.
So you're in the world of The Last of Us traveling around trying to capture adorable little creatures, and it's not going to turn out for those adorable little guys. You know what I mean?
Be dark.
In about 5 hours, you're going to be brutally killing other people's Pokemon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're going to be screaming in fucking anguish, Pikachu!
You're going to watch Charizard die like,
oh,
right
my
in front
God.
Of your
eyes. Oh, my Lord. That's a dark one, Steve. That's a good one. Okay. Mario Kart and Elden Ring.
That's really funny. You know, there was a joke that's been going on for a long time called Bloodborne Kart.
Oh, really?
Somebody's actually making it. It's
oh,
like
my God.
It's like a PS1 kind of remake.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
But they got hit. They finally did get hit with, like, the cease and desist from Sony. So
buddy,
we'll have to see if it continues. But
buddy, the like an Elden Ring kart racer?
Yes. Oh, man, that would be fantastic.
Bro, where you're playing, you know me, I'm fucking the pot boy. And, you know, the little items and weapons you pick up would be, like, Scarlet Rot. And you know, giant bird. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now, like a Souls rhythm game would be kind of funny.
Oh my god, dude! Dance Dance Revolution Souls like.
Yeah,
but the problem is if you miss too many notes, they kill you. In
you
real
die
life,
for real.
In real life, dude, a Souls rhythm game would slap. They, you know, look at Square. Right, they started off. You know, Final Fantasy II, Final Fantasy III, and then before you know it, look at all the things that Final Fantasy has spun off into. Honestly, about the only thing I can't think that they've done is a kart racer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could do one.
Absolutely.
Final Fantasy could do a kart racer, and it would be sick. The problem is there's no way you could put every Final Fantasy character that people would want in there, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I would see having a big roster, though. That's our next episode. We're just going to come up with the 40 guys from Final Fantasy who are going to be in our Final Fantasy
kart racer.
Kart racer, yeah.
But how many people are in the cast of 7? Because there's that. All those,
yeah,
those
a bunch.
Are.
Yeah,
yeah, all those
saying.
Spots
we'll have to make
are taken.
Sophie's choice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Everybody
no,
on
not
7.
For them. Yeah,
yeah,
7.
Everybody's,
oh, yeah.
Everybody in 7's in.
Certain games get the
Kane,
golden pass.
Astinian, you know. I'm trying
great.
To think of some other ones. Like, I was sitting here trying to think of a way to cross over Yakuza / Like a Dragon with another game series, but Yakuza, throughout their history, have done so many different mini games and weird things
Hold
in
on.
Their games. Uh-oh.
Gears of Yakuza.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. It's just it's a co-op third-person shooter with Kiryu and Majima.
They've got the fucking buzzsaw guns. What do they call it?
The Lancers.
Chainsaw Lancers, yeah.
Uh-huh. Just Kiryu John, ring ding 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 ding.
Rah rah rah! As he's like chainsaws.
Oh man, when the fuck are we gonna ever hear something about another Gears of War game? It's been a while.
I know. That's
We're about
a great
to have
question.
To do an episode on third person shooter games that we'd like to see a new entry on, and it will just be us talking about where the fuck is Gears of War 6.
Yeah.
When was 5 released? 2019.
A while ago, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at 5 years since the last one. I feel like that's got to be...
Was Gears Tactics between...
It was. That's true. Yeah. That's true. I mean, it is a game entry, even though it's a different genre. So 4 came out in 16. Gears 5 came out in 2019, Gears Tactics in 2020. So it's not like it's been a short amount of time since Gears Tactics. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, one last one of these. What would you mash up with Yakuza, but like make it mainly Yakuza? You know what I mean? Like another game franchise that we're going to kind of turn into Yakuza.
Okay. Another game franchise that we're going to kind of turn into Yakuza. I want a Yakuza MMO, Steve.
Oh, yes.
That's what I want. I want a Yakuza MMO where, you know, I start off
Yakuza.
I start off as a grunt Yakuza. You can choose which family you want to be part in, you know. And
yeah, you start out doing like this nickel and dime shit
on
the street.
Collecting money from people. Hustling. Yeah, see, that's... And then, because, you know, it's always a thing in one of those Yakuza games, you're hardly ever actually part of the Yakuza. Have you ever noticed that, Steve?
Yeah. He's always retired, and they're always like, hey, can you help us out with this thing? Otherwise, the clan's just going to die, which like, oh, seems to happen all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I saw something today where they were talking about the next thing they're doing in that series, and they said it's not Kiwami 3, but they're about to be auditioning voice actors for it. I wonder what that's going to be. I gotta imagine it's a little too early for Like a Dragon 9, right? Even though that's surely in the pipeline and going to happen eventually.
That's way down the line, I think. I think we're going to see some more.
Maybe another Judgment.
Yeah, could be. That series is really popular, and it's one that I want to try at some point pretty badly.
Yeah, it may be another Judgment, maybe another older... Because they've already said it's not going to be Dead Souls, which is fine with me, to be completely honest. But maybe it would be one of the other games that haven't come over here. I don't know. You know, there's some like Yakuza PSP games that were never brought over, too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little entries out there.
Man, I wish that they would add like clone hero support to Yakuza so you could like play Rock Band or something in Yakuza.
Oh, God, with all those karaoke jams?
Yeah, with all the karaoke stuff.
Dude. So
actually have it be, because like, that's my, I do like the karaoke game. It's funny, but like the buttons you're pressing have almost nothing to do with what's happening with the music.
Yeah, it is weird in that way, especially if you're doing like the backup karaoke where whoever you're controlling most of the time, Kiryu, is just going, hey, yeah, hey, hey, yeah, and shaking tambourines and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, let's move on to the regular topic. So, you know, Steve and I are dyed-in-the-wool, old-school JRPG fans, right? Like, I don't know that we could necessarily say we've been there from the beginning, but we've been there from pretty early on, right?
It's what turned my gaming curiosity into an obsession.
Same.
I would say.
It's what took me from being like, video games are fun, to like, holy shit, I love this.
Final Fantasy 2 or 4.
Yeah, exactly. Same one for me.
That for me.
Same thing for me. And, you know, when you're a fan of JRPGs, you know, there's between the big guys, right? Like, there's decent amount of time between releases, especially in modern day. So back in the day, you would stumble across some winners, you would stumble across some real doo-doo, and then once you were able to get your dirty little dick skinners around emulation, then it got real weird.
Weird. But when we were kids, you know, like, it was all... I mean, I guess you could say Dragon Quest kind of predated Final Fantasy.
Oh, it absolutely did.
I know it did, because, you know, it was an NES game. And that was a game that got a lot of people into RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got Dragon Quest free with a subscription to Nintendo Power.
Right.
And I never did. My parents loved me reading. They loved me reading,
uh-huh.
But they didn't want me reading that stuff.
I gotcha.
At that point in my life, they were still kind of like, we don't want you to play video games. Not really knowing that they were just making it so much worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good luck with that, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Dragon Quest is what begot Final Fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. Dragon Quest predates Final Fantasy by a little bit and was the inspiration for a lot of future RPGs in the 8-bit era, in the 16-bit era. Now, granted, I'm more of a Final Fantasy guy than Dragon Quest, but I also really like Dragon Quest. I just don't have the breadth of experience with that franchise as I do Final Fantasy.
I wonder, how many, 1 in 50 JRPG fans would be like, I'm a Dragon Quest guy versus I'm a Final Fantasy guy.
You know, honestly,
be a small number.
Honestly, nowadays, it would probably be more than you think, right? Especially,
I know 11 did well.
Yeah,
and it's a beloved game.
Yeah, 11 was really good. I think it's 9 that's really good. 10 has never been released in the United States. It's an MMO, Dragon Quest 10. But yeah, I think Dragon Quest definitely has more of a following than maybe it did in the past. And a lot of that is due to the fact that 11 was so good. And for a lot of hardcore turn-based RPG fans, 11's turn-based combat, right? So going to appeal to them in that way too. But we're not here to talk about Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest for once in our fucking life. We're here to talk about maybe the lesser known JRPG franchises that I remember every one of them that I have pulled up, and I'm sure Steve is going to remember every one he's thought of too, as being seemingly a bit of a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And none of these maybe to me represents that more than Wild Arms. Do you remember this series, buddy?
I definitely do. Yeah, it was a PlayStation 1. Right. Mm-hmm. RPG.
Yep.
And I remember the case for sure. It was one of the, I was still kind of looking for that Final Fantasy fix at this point, right? Because yeah. 7, I don't believe, had come out yet.
No. So Wild Arms 1 came out in December of 1996. That's when the first game came out.
Okay.
It's got a weird sort of Wild West / sci-fi setting to it. It's turn-based combat. Pretty interesting, interesting concept. And it was a game that every time I would go into Blockbuster or wherever to open or to rent a game, I would see Wild Arms and be like, hold on. Well, they always had Wild Arms 2 at mine. And I was like, well, I'm not going to play the second one. Right. It actually came out in April of 1997 here, which is interesting, which I think would have been right around the time or shortly before or after Final Fantasy VII, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a franchise that, you know, I remember always being interested in when I'd see it. And eventually, I think I picked up Wild Arms, the first one, for sale at, you remember if you'd go to a video store, Blockbuster, or even a mom and pop one, if they were either closing down or getting new stuff in, they would sell off their old stuff real cheap, movies and games and stuff. I bought Wild Arms 1 from one of those places for $15 or something, right?
Did it come in the package, or what? Did it come in one of those weird little video store?
So it had the CD case.
Okay, cool.
But it had no manual in the front of the case, which was nice. Now this series, Wild Arms, is exactly what made me think of this concept, this idea, because the other day when I was buying JRPGs on sale on PlayStation, I got the first 3 Wild Arm games. Now, when am I going to play those, Steve? I don't know, but I got them.
Yeah. You know, it's just peace of mind for you to know that you have them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They probably weren't that pricey anyway.
No, I think, buddy, no, I got them for a song. A song, Steve. Now, I remember all the way up through Wild Arms 3, right? Now, when I say remember it, I've never played Wild Arms 3, but I remember seeing Wild Arms 3 in stores and stuff. It would have come out in like 2002. It was a PlayStation 2 game.
Sure.
By that point.
I played the first one, and I want to say I beat it, but I never played the sequel or the third one.
Yeah, and so when I was like, oh, I wonder whatever happened to this franchise, right? I was like, well, let's go see. Let's go see what happened. So they, like I said, the last one I was aware of was Wild Arms 3. But then there was a Wild Arms 4, 5, and the most recent release was Wild Arms XF for the PlayStation Portable. And this was... it's like a board. It's like a tactical RPG, apparently. Now that game came out in 2007, and there has been zero movement on this franchise since then. For 17 years later, no Wild Arms games, right? But apparently, there was a fairly successful manga. There was an anime adaption from October 19th to March 2000, Wild Arms Twilight Venom. You know, it's one of those things that seemed kind of popular, and then it's just gone. No more.
Yeah, at some point, I guess the sales must have just been bad, really, really bad.
Must have been.
You know what? Let's like, shelf this one for a
poor
while.
Poor Wild Arms 5, I didn't even know you existed, bro. In fact, it came out in the United States almost a full year after the PlayStation 3 was released.
So this would definitely need to be, I think, a hard reboot if it comes out.
Yeah, you know, I to be completely honest with you, having only played the first one and maybe some of the second one at a buddy's house, I have a vague memory of playing Wild Arms 2. I don't even know if it's one of those things where characters carry over, right? Where like, is it a continuing story, or is it one of those franchises that resets with new characters for every entry? I don't know.
I just also don't think that if you were to release a Wild Arms these days, that anybody would care. Like, you know what I mean? It would have to win merit on its own.
No, yeah, you could not. Like, if
name recognition isn't doing anything for it, that's what I mean.
The one thing they couldn't do if they decided to bring it back is be like, hey guys, here's Wild Arms 6.
Exactly, that's what I mean. I think that's going to just confuse people.
Yeah, it would be that fucking, cat meme. Well, so, you know, they could either do like a full-on reboot, redo the first game, or just, you know, like a call it Wild Arms and, you know, take inspiration from the original games. Or if you really wanted to be a follow-up, you call it Wild Arms and give it some fucking
subtitle,
right? Yep. The Anime Boys in the Weird West, that's what it'd be called.
I love it.
You know, always a series that I respected and thought was cool, and was like, if I had money to just get any game I wanted when I was a kid, I would have checked out all the Wild Arms games. But it's one of those that, you know, I remember sort of fondly from playing the first one. And who knows even if it holds up, you know? I have no idea. I'll find out one day because I have the first three on my PlayStation now. Or was it one of those things that I was into because I was like, I really want to play a new Final Fantasy game, and I played them all. So,
yeah, and you were and you were only a couple of months away from Final Fantasy VII. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right, buddy. So Wild Arms, what's one that you remember?
Okay, so clearly I think that our first priority as a society needs to be Final Fantasy VII. I think that needs to be remade immediately.
Yeah, it's one of those games that I don't think people respect enough. I don't think there's a, you know, the fandom for it should be much bigger. You know, it should be one of those fandoms where people are so into it that they start having arguments over stuff that doesn't matter, you know? Right.
We bitted about this one night, me, you, and Will, because he had sent a funny meme, but about how they should just keep remaking it in perpetuity. Just that one game.
Dude, as soon as the third part is out, if they were like the next year, they were like, hey, so you know what we're doing, guys? We're releasing all three parts of the Final Fantasy remake as one set, as one big complete game. I'll be like, that's sick. And they're like, and guess what? In a few years, we're starting it all over, remaking it again, baby. I'd be like, thank you.
Dude, they should just let different directors do it. Like, next time, let Miyazaki do it.
Oh, my God. Buddy.
And then, like, next time, let Anno do it.
Steve? Steve? If we let Miyazaki do a three-game remake of Final Fantasy VII, the game will end with me swinging from the rafters. I don't know that I could take that in Final... You know what I mean? Because what is he going to do? You know? You know, what's he going to do to all those folks? Bad things is what.
It would be like you would come across... everything after the bad stuff had already happened.
You'd be like, why am I playing? Oh, there's a character creator? Okay. Weird. I guess
you'd
go through design my own version of Cloud, and then the first area you found Cloud's corpse with a little sparkly on it for you to pick up. I'd be like, what? Huh? You know what I mean?
All right, but in all seriousness, I did have a good one, and this is kind of an obscure one. From the Sega Saturn era.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game called Dragon Force.
Ooh.
And I remember loving this game when I was in college. My buddy had this game, and I would just play it incessantly. Really fun. It was kind of like, I can't think of the name of these games, but it's almost like a big battler where you're controlling like
a
hero.
It's a real-time strategy game, yeah.
This is, but there's also like points where your guys are running into each other, and you have like the big units that are doing the big moves and stuff like that. It all happens kind of fast.
Uh-huh.
But it was so fun. You put together these really good armies and watch your dudes just destroy everything. Oh,
buddy. So I'm looking, okay? I remember this game. Never played it. Dragon Force is a real-time strategy and role-playing game from Sega, created for the Sega Saturn. It was created in Japan and translated for North America release by Working Designs in 1996. Do you want me to tell you something, Steve? Anytime you see an old game, specifically like on the Sega CD or the Sega Saturn, and it says it was published by Working Designs, that motherfucker is expensive.
Yeah, I bet it is.
I bet you we're talking, if I had to guess, $600 to $700 minimum. Dragon Force Sega Saturn. Let's see. Okay.
$250 looks like some. Well, that's probably an opened copy, maybe.
Yeah, we're looking at $429, $300.
Mm-hmm. Pretty pricey. Yeah,
pretty pricey, like, for sure. Especially for, and you know the other thing that's fucked up about those Sega Saturn and Sega CD cases is that plastic is very fragile and
breaks. It sure is, man. Yeah. Those cases were huge.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's not as expensive. Maybe some of the other. Working design games, but it's expensive. It's mm-hmm. very expensive. And it looks like, you know, when you look back at the reviews for this game, they were solid. We're talking 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, you know.
Yeah, it's never come back. Like, I thought that it was such a fun idea for a game. was there a sequel?
Dragon Force 2 Kama Sharishi Dachi Ni was developed and published by Sega for the Saturn and released only in Japan in 1998.
Okay.
That seems to be the only other
must have not
entry.
Sold well in America.
Mm-mm.
So
no, I mean, you know, the
ahead of its time.
The Sega Saturn struggled in America as it is, and then you're looking at a niche type of game on a struggling console. Yeah, I bet you this didn't sell well in America at all.
But the combat was so epic. Like, you would see these armies clashing in real time, and it was like there were these style of games that were like just you running around killing things in a big battle,
mm-hmm.
and it was like Asian history kind of stuff. It reminded me of those games, and I can't think of...
The Romance of the Three Kingdoms games, maybe?
Yeah, I think maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Speaking of another Sega Saturn RPG that's stupid expensive that I'm dying to play, but not dying enough to buy a Sega Saturn, and then we'll look up the price of this game. It's going to be very expensive. Last time I looked, it was about $800.
Yeah, I was going to say this one will definitely be more expensive than
now.
The
thing is this was part of a franchise. The rest of the franchise was not a JRPG. They were on the rail shooters, which was Panzer Dragoon, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in 1998, they released an RPG, a turn-based RPG set in that universe called Panzer Dragoon Saga. And I want to play this so bad. I've always thought...
Never played this one.
Yeah, me neither. Never even sniffed it. You know what I mean? Never seen one in person, ever.
I mean, I was fucking stoked when Xbox got Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Which is like a remake of the first one.
Yeah, because that was like the first time it had been on something besides a Sega machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had much Sega systems.
Listen,
you know, so
I think this is what we got to do. You know how they're bringing out all those new versions of like Shinobi and Golden Axe and shit? Mm-hmm. We just got to support the shit out of it. So eventually they'll be like, okay, what can we do next? And some poor accountant in the back is like, Panzer Dragoon? And they don't throw them out of the window. They're like, good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, because it would have to be that because Dragon Force is just still too niche. I think that, that one will never come back. But Panzer Dragoon Saga, I could definitely see something like that happening.
You know, even if they just released the original game, like, you know, ported it to modern hardware so I can go buy it and play it. I'm dying to play this. I've watched a ton of reviews of it. Something that I didn't even realize existed at the time when it released. You know what I mean? Because I would have been obsessed with it back then, too. And this bad bitch is expensive, buddy. Let's see. Panzer Dragoon Saga. $1,000.
Is the first thing that pops up.
A Panzer Dragoon Saturn, all four discs only, mint, $400, and that's a bid. $1,200, $1,100.
This is very expensive.
Yeah, this is a very, very expensive game, and...
it's a collector's item now.
Yeah, yeah,
$1,600.
Like, I can't even imagine, because, you know, like, I think the Sega Saturn is cool...
That system. Underrated system.
It's one of those systems that's, for my budget, prohibitively expensive to collect for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
The stuff I want, Snatcher, super expensive, Panzer Dragoon Saga, Dragon Force, I would definitely get that if I had one and had the money. I would love
to see YouTubes of these games that we're talking about because it's been so long. I hope it doesn't ruin the rose-tinted memories I have, you know.
I want to play this game so bad. And I know Saturn emulation has gotten better. It was one of those systems that it was apparently fairly difficult to emulate properly. And just in the last few years, I feel like they've gotten a little better with it. So maybe one day I can emulate it and play it, but I just want to check it out so bad. That cover art for the European version is awful, though.
It's so of the time, you know? Like, look, it looks like...
It looks like a fucking flyer for a fundraiser for an orphanage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it looks like Aldi Claire Redfield or something.
We got Claire Redfield at home.
Man, yeah, I always thought Panzer Dragoon was a sick franchise, though, from when they came out. I was always jealous that that was a franchise I never got to play much of. So
yeah, man.
I'd love to see that one come back.
Really cool. Really cool. I'd love to see it come back. I know. So, you know, on the Xbox, you can go and get Panzer Dragoon Orta and play it now, which is fun, and I've done that. But
the rail shooter, you know, they're fun for what they are.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about Wild Arms. We've talked about something from Sega. I want to bring up a little something from my favorite JRPG developer, Square. And that's Xenogears. Now,
I played the bejesus out of this game.
Yeah, you mean we have Evangelion at home?
Yeah, but man, this was fun. This is a fun game.
This is a fun game, and it is... It's a game that I still have my original copy of Xenogears, and I have a PlayStation 2 I could use to play it, but maybe I shouldn't.
Right, yeah. Sometimes it's better left in the past, which I'm sure this one, well, who knows? I mean, this was a turn-based one, fun.
Yeah, and you know, in North America, it came out in October of 1998, and I remember being first made aware of this game. I don't think it certainly wouldn't have been Nintendo Power. It would have been some other gaming magazine that was talking about this game and being like, it's got some weird religious shit in it, and I don't know if it'll actually ever come over to the United States. And this was, I bought this game the day it released.
Me too.
They only had one copy at the Kmart I went to, and nobody was asking for it. And I was like, could you hand me that?
They had it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was only going to like Babbage's or whatever that was called back in those days. Was this Square's follow-up in America to Final Fantasy VII?
No, they had one of the, I think Saga Frontier came out after Final Fantasy VII. I think Tactics came out before this, and maybe even Final Fantasy VIII. The fucked up thing about
Tactics, that's right.
Final Fantasy VII, VIII, and IX is they all came out a year apart from each other, basically, right? Which is crazy to imagine now when I'm
waiting damn near
a decade for a new Final Fantasy these days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So 7 came out in 97. Okay, so I'm wrong. 7 came out in 97, and then 8 came out in 99, 9 came out in 2000, and then 10 came out in 2001.
Okay, so there was a little gap between 7 and 8,
but they put out a Final Fantasy.
Bang, bang, bang.
It was an annual franchise for a second there.
That's crazy. Then
5 years later, Final Fantasy 12 comes out. 11, you know, good game, but as far as like a single player entry in the franchise, it was 5 years later. Then 3 until 13, 4 until, wait, no. 7 until 15, because 14 was in the middle, and then 7 until 16. So if they follow that, it might not be 2030 till I get my hands on another one of these bad bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Buff.
It's pretty much everything we've brought up so far, I think, would benefit from the reboot treatment,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like a revived kind of like continue the story of the franchise kind of deal.
Yeah. So one thing
so
I
far.
Now listen, I know Michael Pappas and anybody else that's, you know, vaguely familiar with this franchise is probably spitting blood out their mouth screaming at the radio right now, cuz I'm not bringing up the fact that so Xenogears is kind of weird, right? It was sort of its own little independent passion project within Square that started off weirdly enough as a potential sequel to Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, it was an original pitch for Final Fantasy VII. And then a potential sequel to Chrono Trigger before becoming its own thing, right? The guy behind Xenogears left Square and started Monolith Soft, right? Now, Monolith Soft, later, they put out Xenosaga, which is a spiritual successor to Xenogears. And then
I remember that, but I never played that one.
Yeah, and then Xenoblade Chronicles, which is a further spiritual successor, which is a franchise that's ongoing today and is excellent, for the record. But none of those are Xenogears. There was something a little weird and special about Xenogears. Like, for one, you know, at the time, like, the way they would make Final Fantasy games is the backgrounds would be pre-rendered, right? And the characters would be polygons, like in Final Fantasy VII. Later in Final Fantasy VIII, all polygons. And then in IX, they went back to rendered backgrounds, polygon characters. In Xenogears, it's the inverse, where all the backgrounds and the world detail are all 3D modeled polygons, and all the characters are sprites on top of it, right? Like, really nice looking pixel art sprites, more like what you would have seen in the 16-bit era. And they had multiple systems where, like, there's a whole system where you're doing turn-based combat in the big mechs in it. And it is Evangelion as fuck. Like, I guarantee you this dude was like, I'd like to make an Evangelion RPG, but I don't want to have to pay for the license, so let's just get it close enough. Really weird story. Now, it also legendarily has a really bad chapter where a lot of the plot is just run through in dialogue, and it's because they ran out of time and budget to produce some of the dungeons in the game they had to play. So it's weirdly, like, you can play the full game and get the full story, but there's parts of it that feel weirdly unfinished because they were weirdly unfinished. Now, if we don't count Xenosaga and Xenoblade, this is a franchise that has not had an entry since 1998. You know, during the PlayStation 3 era, they put this game up for download on the PlayStation Store. It's not up on the one. It's not on the PlayStation Store now, right? So it's not something that's super easy to play without seeking out something to play the original game on or emulation, I would guess. But boy, you know what I think they should do with this, Steve? I think they should remake it and use like the Octopath Traveler and, you know, Project Triangle Strategy engine, that 2D HD engine that they use now.
Yeah, I think these games could use that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think this would be a sick candidate for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy, what you got after Xenogears?
Well, let's humor our buddy Pops some more and talk about Lunar.
Yep.
Which is another Sega era. I think all the ones I brought up are Sega.
Well, this one was developed by Game Arts, so it's not a Sega game itself, but was originally...
I just remember it on the Sega CD.
Yeah. Right. What a game, Lunar. Lunar, by the way, Michael Pappas's favorite game of all time. This is his favorite game of all time, Lunar.
Yeah, so this was the game, to me, that really changed it as far as the music goes. And now Final Fantasy had great music up to this point, no problems. But this game took advantage of the fact that it was on that medium and really did well with it. Like, they had so many memorable tracks on it. And that, with the emotional story, really made a big difference in terms of the emotional impact. The music did, at least in my mind. It instantly, like, made me gravitate towards the characters and the story, and it was just so damn good of a game. At least that's how I remember it.
Now, I'll say this, you know, Lunar, of all the games we're talking about, is probably the one I've played the most recently. And when I say most recently, I mean in the last 15 years. Because I had the re-release of the first game on PSP, and I played it on PSP, and it was delightful. Like, it was just as good as I remember. This was a game that used to kill me that I didn't have access to because I didn't have a Sega CD, right? And then, you know, we're talking back in the day where either the internet wasn't around, or into the years where we're first having access to the internet, it wasn't like it was as easy to find out shit about game releases as it is now, right?
Definitely not.
So it was not until years later in a mom and pop game shop that I saw Lunar for PlayStation, because they later re-released it as Lunar Silver Star Story Complete.
When did this game come out originally?
The very first version came out in 1992.
Oh, wow. That early.
Yeah. Yeah. I was still playing a SNES in 1992, Steve.
That's crazy to me. So this was basically like well before Final Fantasy VII. So this was me finding basically my fix that I had been kind of looking for since Final Fantasy
VI, probably.
VI. Yeah.
Yeah.
This game was... let's think. So Sega CD, I think the only reason we would have even gotten this game in the first place was because Sega CD had kind of a smaller selection of games, right? Like, you would go to the store and there'd be like 8 million Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis stuff, but the Sega CD section was kind of smaller. And, you know, I was like, oh, look at this cool game I'll never play. And my buddy was like, oh, I'll play it. He liked the Mana games we had played together.
Oh, right on.
And so, you know, I talked him into getting that, and that's how I saw it. And man,
they had the like animated cutscenes and stuff. And so I remember whenever I saw this, so it says that it released on the PlayStation in 1998 or 99. It was in college for sure that I saw it at a game store, and that would have been post 2001 or 2002. And at that time, it was like $80 used, right? And I was like, that's more expensive than a brand new game.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous price.
I eventually got it off of eBay somewhere down the line, and that was my first time ever being able to play that game because I never had a Sega CD, and I never had any buddies that had a Sega CD. Mm-hmm. And I was so stoked to finally get to play it, and I still have very fond memories for this game. I honestly don't know if I've ever played the second one, Eternal Blue. Because they also released that one, re-released that one on PlayStation.
I would like to go back through Lunar at least once.
Uh-huh.
You know, it would be cool if they brought it back and maybe redid the first one. I would say in this case, I would be less cool about a reboot. Like, I would want them to kind of stick to that story.
Yeah.
I'm fine with, like, doing it all new or whatever, but, like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't want a new story set in that world. I want that story.
So let me check here. There have been three Lunar games. Because, like, when you look at the franchise, it's the first two games being released on Sega CD and then later in Sega Saturn. I don't think the Sega Saturn versions ever came to the U.S. I could be wrong. And then the PlayStation re-releases of the first two games. And then there's three other entries. Lunar Legend, Lunar Genesis, and Lunar Silver Star Harmony. Lunar Legend was a Game Boy Advance game. Okay. Apparently, this is a bit of a sequel, too. That's cool. I had no idea. So when was that? 2002. Lunar Dragon Song was a Nintendo DS game. Also came out over here, 2005, Year of Revenge of the Sith. Damn. And then, oof, that one has bad reviews. Lunar Dragon Song. And then Silver Star Harmony for the PSP. This is the one I had. This is the one I had on PSP. It's the remake. That's what I thought. And that came out in 2010. So 14 years without any fucking movement on the Lunar series.
Mm-hmm.
Man. And honestly, like, peace and love, remaking the first game isn't a whole lot of movement.
No. You know? Yeah, you know? Definitely not. That's Nomura's next project.
Yeah, there we go. It's gonna be a Final Fantasy VII style remake of Lunar split up over 8 games just for the first one. Speaking of Sega, a lot of these are Sega, I realize. And I also realize when we bring up this franchise that there is a bit of an asterisk there because it does have an ongoing sort of community around it. And that's Phantasy Star. Phantasy Star, for the longest time, was Sega's answer to Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest, right?
Fantasy with a PH.
Yeah, Phantasy Star. Another thing I really fucking dig about Phantasy Star is that it's sci-fi. It's sci-fi fantasy. Phantasy Star 3 and 4 fucking slap, by the way. If anybody out there hasn't ever played those two, I highly recommend them. I've never played the first two, but I've played 3 and 4 through emulation back in the day and really liked them.
I dicked around with maybe the first one. Like, my cousin, I think, had the Sega Master System, and I might have gotten to fool around with it for a few minutes, but I never played any Phantasy Star game.
I'll tell you this. The one thing that has always stopped me from being able to play the original Phantasy Star and enjoy it is not a shortcoming of the game. It's a shortcoming of me. Is the first one's first person when you're in dungeons, and it's like those weird RPGs where it's maze RPGs where you're trying to find your way around a maze. And I think they kind of expect you to be like mapping it out with grid paper and stuff. And I said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
It's 2024, man.
This game, you know, really cool. Once again, something you would see all the time when you go into a video store to rent a game, specifically the ones on the Genesis 3 and 4, right? And then in 1993, Phantasy Star 4 comes out. It slaps. And then that fucking franchise is dormant for 7 years until 2000 when Phantasy Star Online comes out. And that has been, ever since then, it's been Phantasy Star Online and then Phantasy Star Online 2, right? Mm-hmm. I know there is a passionate fan base behind the original Phantasy Star Online because people were playing it on Dreamcast with that big fucking Dreamcast controller keyboard thing.
Do they spell it Phanus? fans.
Oh, they do. They do, by the way. They're P-H-A-N-S. They're fans. Mm-hmm. Pans. They don't.
they don't.
And then Phantasy Star Online 2 comes out in 2012, right? And it was one of those things that was only released in Japan, and people were begging for it for years, bro. Begging them to release it in the United States. You had to
please,
have come across
God.
It. Please, Phantasy Star 2 Online. You had to have seen some of that in your internet days, buddy. Like,
I'm sure
people just crying out for it. And then this is one of the only times Michael Pappas may have ever been the slightest bit salty with me, right? I don't know if you remember this, buddy, but at E3 in 2019, old Philly Spence comes out and surprise announces that Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming to the Xbox One in early 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michael Pappas, he loves video games, but he is like, he is a PHAN of PlayStation. And so, like, I sent him a good-natured text about, like, haha, it's good. Because it was exclusive to an Xbox for a pretty extended amount of time. It was in 2022 that it came out on PlayStation. For two whole years, this game people wanted so badly was console exclusive to Xbox. And Michael Pappas did not take kindly to me bringing that up.
Oof.
Sorry, buddy. It was the truth. Philly Spence got a pocketbook, too. Bigger pocketbook than Jim Ryan, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And that one's ripe for a comeback, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, and I fucked around with Phantasy Star Online, too. It was neat. It did not capture my attention. It did not make me want to play it like most MMOs do. And so I just kind of moved on. I'm glad people that wanted to play it have access to it. It seems successful. It seems like it has a passionate community. That's great. Let's get a new RPG out, all right, Sega? We're bringing back all these franchises, all right?
Yeah, a quick shout-out to Shining Force, yet Ooh. Another Sega game. I'm going to do something besides Sega, but I did want to bring that one up because it's another defunct RPG that I liked a lot back in the day. Let's go PC.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm going to throw two at you.
Okay.
Ultima.
Oof.
And Might and Magic.
Okay, neither technically.
Are we doing strictly JRPGs?
We have so far, but we go by our own rules. Ultima.
You might have even said JRPGs this whole damn time, and I was just like, let's do something besides Sega.
Well, I mean, listen, though, I also think we need to have some PC representation in here, and I personally don't really know of any PC exclusive JRPG franchises, I know, right?
Like,
you know,
I was thinking Myth next, but that's Bungie.
Yeah. So Ultima, this is a series that I have never, ever, ever played a full Ultima game, right? Not once. But boy, did I try back in the early days of PC gaming.
They make me think of being a kid because you would go into the store.
Look at that box cover, Steve.
The box covers were amazing, and they were fucking huge, and they were fucking heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you tried to pick these things up off the shelf ever, but you could do bicep curls with them with the size of the books that you would get with these games.
Every time
I mean?
We'd go into the local PC shop in Columbus, I would look at those Ultima games. I'd be like, Dad, I want to try those. And he'd be like, I think they might be a little too complicated for you. And I didn't want to hear it. I was like,
I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out, Dad. And then, like Christmas of 1989 or something, I got Ultima 5 for Christmas. And, my dad was right. It was way too complicated for me, but it was one of those big ass PC games that came with a cloth map and there was a real metal coin and all these other feelies in it. Sick.
Amazing.
Sick.
Yeah.
There hasn't been an Ultima game since Ultima 9 in 1999.
Well,
25 years. You know, you can count Ultima Online, but we haven't been counting.
Friend of the podcast, Nick and I played some Ultima Online back in the day. That's my only experience with Ultima. So,
I'm surprised that nobody... Now, hold on. I don't know, because I don't want to disparage the dude that made these games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember him referring to himself as Lord British?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, British. All right. Lord British or Lord Cantabrigian British is the fictor... What? Richard Garriott. All right, Richard. That's
Richard
his real
Garriott.
Name. Another
yep,
Richard.
That's,
come
that's
on.
The guy's name.
From one Richard to another Richard. Come on. game design career. What's he been up to? Oh, my God. Garriott dressed up as his Lord British persona at the 2018 Game Developers Conference.
Oh, for fuck's sake,
Rich.
For
Richard.
Fuck's sake, Richard?
What the fuck, Richard? What's he been up to? Assassination. What? Oh, that's his... Oh, man. This has got real theater kid energy, this whole Lord British stuff.
Sure does.
Well, yeah. What's he been up to? He's an astronaut? Get out of here. No, he's not. No, he's... Peace and love.
I can't
he's
read
not.
It. You're just scrolling.
I'm sorry. Funny. Shroud of the Avatar Forsaken Virtues in... 2018. Uh-oh. This sounds like he couldn't get the Ultima IP and tried to do something else.
Oh, man. I bet this game flopped.
Shroud of the Avatar Forsaken Virtues is a fantasy role-playing game described as being a spiritual successor to the Ultima series. I knew it. I knew it. a dual-scale overview world map, player housing, crafting, an active virtue system, and selective multiplayer? What? What's the reviews?
Just skip to the reviews.
Reception, Metacritic, 58 out of 100. Ooh.
Better than I thought, honestly.
Sorry, Richard.
Better than I thought.
He made a game called Tabula Rasa. It's a defunct MMORPG. Oh.
God. I'm sure we saw a trailer for that some E3 back in the day and thought that looks like shit.
Or I might have been like, I don't know, man. It's a sci-fi MMO. That looks kind of neat. Oof, it got a C+. Oof. IGN gave it a 7.5 out of 10. Oh, Richard Garriott, man.
Yeah, it's like he's still got it, man. He's still got mediocrity. He's still got it.
Now, I don't want to disparage Ultima too much because I know there are certain Ultima games that people are crazy about. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was Ultima 5, the one I got for Christmas, but I know they have their fan base. I have to imagine it's a bunch of old bastards who are fucking looking at the end of their life coming at them like a Mack truck, you know? There can't be any, like, millennials that are super into the Ultima
that's
franchise.
That's like a 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like old fucks like me and you.
Yeah, that, remember that as
you
kids.
Know what would
yeah,
happen?
Exactly,
we're sitting here
like
talking
magic,
about... We're sitting here talking about, they should do a new entry in Ultima, and then fucking Jeff Keighley comes out with the fucking taste of fresh blood in his mouth, and he's like, we've got a world exclusive for a franchise that hasn't had an entry in 25 years. And then, boom, a storm is coming. Ultima 10. And, you know, I'd be like, oh, shit, a new Ultima. I'm definitely playing that. And damn. Then never buy it when it comes out.
You drop the storm is coming line. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
That's an insta-buy for me. You know when somebody
too.
Says that.
Yeah. Yeah. Might and Magic, another one of those PC franchises. Now, I have played more Might and Magic than Ultima. It was one of those I feel like you'd get a Might and Magic in those super cheap CD-ROM bundles they'd sell. You'd be like, 10 computer games for $20, and there'd be a Might and Magic in there. I guess the last Might and Magic came out in 2014, and it was called Might and Magic 10 Legacy.
Damn. They were like, let's just get it to 10. Call what? It.
It says, instead of being a sequel to Might and Magic 9, the game follows the events of Might and Magic Heroes 6. Guys, fuck off. Come on. What was the, how was this received?
That was probably their best, one of their, 6 must have been one of their better reviewed games.
Well, that was also, I think that's a spinoff, Might and Magic Heroes. That's a whole different, that's
yes,
spinoff
it is.
From
it is.
Might and Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Woof, boof, mamma mia, what are the other spinoffs? Man, that game, first one came out in 86. Damn, the span of time between Might and Magic 9 and 10, 12 years.
Jeez.
So there's still hope that 11's coming out any day now, you know?
Yeah.
Any day. Now, I feel like Heroes of Might and Magic has been kicking around. Yeah.
I think so.
Well, there was one of those in 2015. That's not that recent.
No. Yeah, Heroes of Might and Magic definitely sounds
what
like
what are the other ones? Crusaders of Might and Magic, Warriors of Might and Magic, Shifters of Might and Magic, Molesters of Might and Magic, Potheads of Might and Magic.
Molesters.
Sex workers of Might and Magic. Only fans of Might and Magic. Weird Feet of Might and Magic. They've got a lot of spinoffs.
Sex workers of Might and Magic is pretty funny.
You know what? Get me a budget, Steve.
Sounds like a old-timey bordello or something you would see.
Well, you guys need to get me a budget and a team of mediocrely skilled game developers, and I'll crank out Sex Workers of Might and Magic on Steam.
Mediocrely. Let's see what old Lord British is up to. He is the very embodiment of mediocrity.
Yeah, let's look him up. Richard Garriott. You know he's probably got a live journal. What are you up to, Richard? Oh, Lord. He kind of looks like Paul Giamatti in this one picture of him with the... lot of these... Bitch.
WNBC.
Bitch. Oh,
you said he was an astronaut. Look.
No, okay. He's an astronaut. Sure, apparently. Yeah, sure. Okay. I went to space camp too, Richard.
Yeah, I was going to say he's space camp.
Look, he does kind of look like Paul Giamatti. Ooh, maybe we need to hire Paul Giamatti to star in the Richard Garriott. Never mind. Let's see what they say news. 7 years ago. It's all about space tourism. 13 years ago. Huh. Yeah.
Pretty soon he's going to come out with a game called Heroes of Space and Time or some shit.
And Might and Magic's going to have to sue him. What if he started Ultima dot dot? This is the name of the kid. Ultima
dot dot dot.
Dot 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 in space. Jeff Keighley comes out. So we've got royalty with us tonight. I'm excited to bring someone who hasn't been on the Game Awards stage lately, or ever, to be completely honest. Frankly, we don't know what the fuck he's been up to. I'd like to welcome to introduce his new game, Lord British. And this Paul Giamatti looking motherfucker comes out in a tabard cape and crown. You know what? And he's like, I don't really want to say much because I got to go to space or something, but here's the trailer, and it's Ultima dot 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 in space.
This dude in this picture looks like he's like
mansplaining
an extra in like the third world version of The Witcher.
Oh, dude, no. He looks like, to be completely honest, he looks like somebody that just showed up, dressed up, trying to get an interview at a Ren fair, and they sent him home. And before that, he was mansplaining medieval life to all the ladies there. So this is the thing. They drank mead.
Here's the deal.
Here's the deal. They drank mead.
Oh, shit.
All right, buddy. We're going to, with that tiny roasting.
Lord British.
Lord Thanks, British. Buddy. Oh, God. Lord British. Hold on. Let's look again.
That's my next MMO, my next Final Fantasy 14 character for sure.
Don't do it. Oh, my God. What? Lord British officially in Corvin. What is Corvin? Oh, Lord. This is some deep fucking dark recesses of, oh my God, Steve, Ultima in space. Look at that one, man. He must have made
Tom Green like
right he there. Must have made a couple of bucks with those Ultima games.
Yeah, to be with going the to Might and Magic games, he made a mint. He made a lot of money.
He did Ultima.
Oh, he did
Man
Ultima. Multi- that's yeah, right. Yeah. Sorry, that's
yeah. This motherfucker made a video game and gave himself a title. He's like, that's me. What is he doing here?
Looks like he's reaching for his more wine,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been more awesome. It was. What if he was reaching for like a sword?
That would have been sick. You know what would have been more awesome if this was just a wine cellar filled with different types of soda pop.
We have got. You need to download that picture and practice your Photoshop skills, man. I think we could. We could come up with him reaching for something really good there.
Uh huh. Uh huh. His phone to turn off this episode of High Potion is what. Just wait a second. Hey, Lord British, as one Richard to another, clearly you have a sense of humor about clearly you have a sense of humor about yourself. You know this dude thinks he was Lord British in another life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Damn. All right. I did not expect this to devolve into us dookieing on Lord British for the last 10 minutes, but I'm glad it did. We'll see you guys next week. You know, leave us a review and all that shit. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.